Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church on Homecoming Sunday. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I have several announcements to make, as always, before we get started. The first is today we'll be celebrating World Communion Sunday with Christians all over the world, as well as Cook's Homecoming. A catered lunch will be on the inside of the fellowship hall. We made the decision because of the wetness from the last couple of days. We hope everybody will join, and we'll have some special musical guests. The Quail Hollow Band is our lunch entertainment. Yep, we're excited. We'll be collecting the 10 cents a meal offering today during worship. Please put your marked donations in the offering plates. All the youth are invited to join Taylor this evening at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. I will be resuming myself tonight, Great Stories of the Old Testament Bible Study, for the first three Sundays of every month, which begins tonight, October the 2nd at 6 p.m. We'll be in room 113 if you're coming with us. To join us, not in the fellowship hall, because that's where the youth are going to be. We've got a crop walk coming up on October the 16th. Please follow the church for more information about that. We've got several other events going on. Operation North State, which is from October 16th through the 31st. Operation Christmas Child, which will begin at the very beginning of November for the first couple of weeks. Please note, October 16th is available on your flower calendar. Please contact the church office if you're interested. Please spread the following information to your friends and families and make sure they know that you are invited. They are invited to attend our annual fall festival on Saturday, October 29th from 2 to 5 p.m. in the parking lot in front of the fellowship hall. There is all sorts of fun that happens at these events, but most importantly, what we're able to do is introduce ourselves to our neighbors that are most close to us. And so it's for that reason those events are such wonderful things in the life. And I encourage you to take part in it. Either come and enjoy the day, or even better still, take it to the next level, volunteer, and see the smiles come alive on people's faces as we greet them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in memory of Melva Thompson, Curtis Thompson, T.C. Thompson, and Jack Crosby by Pam and Marty Crosby and their family. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to come to the congregation at this time? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Place your trust in the Lord.
God shall heal our suffering.
Place your faith in God's abiding presence.
We shall be strengthened.
Place your lives always in God's care.
We shall be made whole in the Lord of all compassion.
Join me as we pray. Lord, throughout the world today, Christians are sharing in the sacrament of Holy Communion. We come together with a bountiful table set in the midst of struggle and strife. Heavenly Father, today help us to receive the elements of bread and wine for the nourishment of our souls and for the strengthening of our witness to your love for us. In Jesus' name, we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being this day and forever. Amen. Rise and sing our first hymn. Number 267.
Please stand.
Come, Christians, joy to sing. Alleluia. Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia. Come, lift your heart. hearts on high. Alleluia. Amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia. Amen. He is our God and friend. To us he'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia. Amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia. Amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia. Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, his goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia.
Please be seated. I missed an important item in our order of worship. On homecoming, it is the tradition that we remember the saints that have gone on, that we remember the new lives that have been brought into the congregation. We remember, and we have Johnny do that for us.
Homecoming is truly a time to reflect back on our past. And so this year, since we haven't done it in a couple of years, we're going to be reflecting back from September 2019 through September 2022 to remember those who have gone before us. Deaths: Mary Bradford died 9/26/19. Francis Dean died 4/11/20. Nancy Stanley 8/29/20. Mildred Grice 9/10/20. Jackie Rozelle, 8/31/20. Gordon Stanley, 9/28/20. Russ Sassnett died 2/26/21. Carol Ann Rozelle, 3/17/21. Pete Sigmund, 4/27/21. Mary Griffin, 5/23/21. Melva Thompson, 5/28/21. Loretta Henson, 7/6/21. Billy Sigmund, 7/23/21. Harmon Poplin, 8/18/21. Pauline Harper, 1/9/22. Mildred Alexander, 3/31/22. Byron Beach, 4/17/22. Carolyn Young, 4/29/22. And Geraldine Rhodes died 5/15/22. It's also time to celebrate our births, to celebrate our new members. Our births that we've had are Brooklyn Page Veed, born 10/1/19, Indigo Ray Gore, born 12/3/20, Austin Thompson McCrary Jr., born 3/25/21, Honest Dior Gore, born 7/27/22, and Camden Ray Veed, born 7/12/22. The new members we have to celebrate during this time are Natalie Bryant, Angela Cook, Ruth Ann and Clay Heady, Neil and Susie Hager, Nancy Harmon and Elizabeth Poplin, all joined on 6/14/20, Fred and Mary Lou Cox joined on 8/2/20, Emily and Sheldon Hunter on 12/13/20, Brandon and Ashley Toshi 10/24/21. It's also a time to remember those who were baptized as we remember our own baptisms. The baptisms are Ava Jane Glacier, baptized 12/22/19, and Levi Christopher Toshi, baptized 10/24/21.
Thank you, Johnny. We continue now with our worship service. Let's just remain seated as we remember our prayer of confession. Friends, the Bible tells us that if we say that we're without sin, that we deceive ourselves, and the truth, it isn't in us. But 1 John tells us, if we confess our sin, that God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us of our unrighteousness and remove from us any and all wrongdoing. And so to that end, we find that this act that we undertake together and then privately in our hearts alone is the means by which we open the pathway to God's forgiveness, which is there waiting for us as it always is. So join me as we confess our sin together, leaving time for a moment to silently, inwardly confess our sins to the Lord this morning. Join me as the words are found in this morning's bulletin. Merciful and forgiving God, we need a spirit of love and acceptance to flood into our lives this day, even though we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Still, we harbor anger and vehemence against others. We act out of frustration rather than love. We hoard your gifts and only grudgingly share our bounty with others. We find ways to turn our backs on you, claiming that the other things are more important than our faith. And then, in the midst of struggle and strife, we come back to you, awash in tears and sorrow. We plead for your help and salvation. You have called us to be witnesses to the good things that can happen when we follow your ways. Heal us from our selfishness and our apathy. Give us courage and strength for the ministries in which you have placed us. For we have asked these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the Bible is the record of God's graciousness toward humanity, and central among it is the declaration that Jesus Christ has acted to atone for our sins forevermore. We can confess our sins with the assurance of people who have already been forgiven. We know that forgiveness comes to us directly through the life, death, and resurrection of the Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. So friends, today, let me be the first to tell you the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Now let us confess what it is we believe in our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 336.
You might recognize this as a Thanksgiving hymn, which it is, but I didn't just want to save it for Thanksgiving. For this very special Sunday, I thought it was very appropriate. So as we gather together, let us sing it.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing
now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we are winning. Thou, Lord, was at our side. All glory be thine. We all do extol thee, our leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free.
At this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come down and join me on the carpet for a time that's just for them. Hey, guys. Well, I just realized, let's not get too comfortable over here. Let's kind of shift over here, and maybe if you guys could line up on this other side, because I've got something I can't wait to show you. Just come on over here, guys. Yeah, and then the 10 cents a meal thing is over there. Boom. You're on fire. That's good. Well, guys, this is a special day. This is World Communion Sunday. Does anybody know what World Communion Sunday means? No, it's not surprising. We celebrate the Lord's table today with churches around the world. Now, where is the farthest place in the world that you can think of? Where is it? Do you think maybe China is a long way away? China? Australia is a really long, far away away. And Russia is a far away. And guess what?
Antarctica?
That'd be really far. And you know, the thing is, I bet that today on Antarctica, even though there is the population is very small, there are Christians there. And it wouldn't surprise me to find out that it, what is that, Fort Nebo or something like that, Antarctica? That they are celebrating communion. And today, what we've decided to do is to put out just an enormity of different types of bread to help us remember that the body of Christ, are we just Americans as the body of Christ? Or are there Christians all over the world? There are Christians all over the world. That's right. And so what do we have? What is one of the most basic staples and foodstuffs of the world? I've got a little hint for you. It's right here. Bread, that's it. Now, can anybody just identify a type of bread here? They're all kind of new and different. Some, anybody see a bread and say, ah, I know what that is?
I don't know the names of breads.
Ah, okay. Quesadillas. That's right. They have a tortilla here. A tortilla is an excellent way to remember that we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Central and South America. Any other ones that you recognize? What? Let me tell you a little bit about this. This is an Italian boule, which is like a sourdough. It's very tasty. It reminds us that we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Europe, in Eastern Europe. Now, this is a special bread, especially given some things that are going on. This is called Pascha. It's a Ukrainian holiday bread. Now, we all know what's going on in the Ukraine right now, so we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ there that are feeling the lash of tyranny. This is pumpernickel. This is a special type of bread they make in Germany. You know what makes it so dark in color?
It's burnt.
It's not burnt. It's not burnt. It's molasses. Molasses is the key ingredient in pumpernickel bread. That's probably not really as important as Jesus, but something you can take with you. This is a baguette, which is another way that we remember Central Europe. This is like cornbread. And so this is right like our own southern heritage right there in bread form. And over here we have pita bread, which reminds us of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East as well. You guys, today, and one of the things you'll see is when we celebrate communion, as you open up the baskets, what you're going to find is different bits of all these types of bread that you've seen today. It's all bread. We've got some gluten-free in here if you want that. And we've got still some of these little cups, so just so you know, if you want a sealed communion experience, that can be had today too. But, guys, we do this because we remember that the body of Christ is much longer, larger, much, much larger than just us in America, don't we? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you for bread. Thank you for what it does to nourish us. Thank you also for the bread of life. Your Son, Jesus Christ. He joins us and unites us with believers all over the globe. Be with us today, Father God. Join us with all the saints. In Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys.
While they're moving, our special music song, starting this month, we're going to learn a song a month. So at the beginning of the month, we'll sing it so you can hear it. You may know it. If you know it, please sing along. But we will sing this for the rest of the month so that you can learn a new song. So we won't just do it once. We'll do it four times, and we'll do that each month and continue to build the repertoire. We'll do some hymns. We'll do some contemporary stuff. But it's all in just learning music. This is Chris Tomlin's Good, Good Father.
Well, I heard thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've been many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. Who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. Who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word, knowing and trusting that God, through the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, delivers to us exactly what we need to hear this day. So join me as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate for us this, your Word. Shine your heavenly and everlasting light into our hearts as your Word is read and proclaimed, so that we might resonate with the thoughts, the ideas, the feelings, the way that you would have us live our lives. Be with us especially dearly and closely in this time of reading and proclaiming of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I forgot my glasses, so bear with me if I kind of flounder here a little bit. I'm going to be reading from Lamentations, Chapter 3, 19 through 26. It's on page 816 in your pew Bible. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I've been over the last several weeks in a sermon in series in Romans. And that's what the bulletins have that I'll be doing today. But I decided, as we got closer to the actual date, that I would switch for a number of reasons. First of all, the length of time that we have on a Communion Sunday is abbreviated. But secondarily, it seemed more gracious to our guests that were here to not come at them with some continuing things, but to give something new. So I've switched. I will be reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning, and I don't have a page number for you, so I apologize. But I'll be in the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter. I'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Hear now the word of our Lord. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Location, location, location. That's the mantra of most real estate agents as you go into the market looking to buy a new home. They want you to understand the importance of where your house is likely to be, how that impacts its value. You know, for a number of years, my wife and I watched a particular show on HGTV that we took a lot from. It was called, it's still on, it's called House Hunters. And it always surprised me just to see how little house you could buy for $1 million in one of these major metropolitan markets. You'd be surprised to find out that it's nowhere near as large or as spacious or as accommodating a place as you might find for the same money here in the heart of the Carolinas. But what the what that show did was it really highlighted how in a particular area, one space can be worth a vast sum of money different, more than if it's in another space. But I got to wondering, what makes any one place more valuable than any other when we really think about it? Is it because it's a closer commute to work, really? Is it because the place you're looking at has a view of the beach, or perhaps you'll get a better tan there? Yeah, those things do impact us, but I think at the heart, whenever we think about why we want to move, where we want to go, it's because we imagine that wherever we're going to be, we're going to be different. That we're going to somehow be a better, more full version of ourselves, that once we get to the right place, that somehow we would be righted. And it doesn't often work like that, if we're honest about it. It just doesn't happen. Most of the time when we pursue what I would call a geographical cure, what happens is we get there, and then having taken ourselves and all our junk and all our garbage, that what we really just have is ourselves in a different locale as opposed to something completely new or changed. But the fact of the matter is, every once in a while, it works. Every once in a while, you get to the right place and it claims you as its own. And somehow it begins the process of marking you, of changing you, of directing your energies and efforts in other and new directions. You know, I say that as one who lived for the better part of 28 years in Southeast Charlotte, North Carolina. It was my stomping grounds, for lack of better words. It's where I went to high school. It's where I came of age. It was my home. And so when we first got called to the Mount Holly, Mountain Island Lake area, it was over 15 years ago. And if you had asked me on that day what my favorite thought about being in the Mount Holly, Mountain Island Lake area was going to be, I would have told you. It's because I can be in Southeast Charlotte in about 15 minutes, right? I looked at this whole area as merely being a side addition to the place that my heart really was. But like I said, every once in a while, you get someplace and it just sort of works out. The two areas of town, couldn't be more different. Southeast Charlotte, of course, has South Park and is burgeoning, and the chain is adding every chain store and restaurant known to man. Maybe we are a little bit out here now, too. But the fact of the matter is the speed and the pace of life in Southeast Charlotte is a little different than it is here. And there was some adjusting that had to happen as we moved forward and moved into our place in the Mount Holly, Mountain Island Lake area. We had to figure some things out. The first thing I had to figure out was why a man in a John Deere tractor ran up and down Tuckasegee Road twice a day, every day, without fail. The guy was as eternal as the tides. I never did figure that one out, unfortunately. That's right. We had to figure out what we were going to do for pizza now that we were somewhat removed from Domino's and Pizza Hut. And thankfully, there was Mr. D's Pizza there in Mount Holly that filled in the gap for us until some of the other restaurants came along. The two towns, as I've said, couldn't be more different. But Mount Holly and the Mountain Island area really started having an effect on me. it had such an effect on me that one day, several months ago, I found myself in my old stomping ground of Southeast Charlotte, North Carolina, at a Panera Bread, as it would happen to turn out, the very kind of place that I would have been most at home in the past. And I honestly felt out of place. I felt like I was no longer in my hometown, that I needed to be back home. You see, when you get to the right place, it feels like home. When you get to the right place, you don't really want to leave. You want to stay and hang out a bit because it is so comfortable and so wonderful. So Mount Holly, the Mountain Island and Mountain Island Lake area have become our home over the years that have transpired. And now, like I said, when I go into other parts of Charlotte, I find them to be lacking. I like this side of town. I had to figure some things out here, too. I had to figure out why y'all called it Shuffletown. I didn't understand that. I've been apprised of that now. So that part I've got down. And so when you get to the right place, it just changes you. And this place has certainly had a changing effect on my life and my career. And in fact, it was while I was working at another church that I happened to be at the Hyundai dealership there in Lowell when I met Jerry. And Jerry told me that there was a church in the city that was looking for a pastor. And I was amazed to find out that it was in the Mount Holly, Mountain Island Lake area. It's Shuffletown, sorry. I'm going to call it Shuffletown. It was in the Shuffletown community. And that's when I ended up at Cook's. And I can say that my experience at Cook's has been nothing but a sheer joy. You know, we came here at the very beginning of the pandemic and in a time where it looked very bleak and things seemed very dark. There were members of the congregation coming to my house, calling me on the phone, and they were praying for me and my family and telling us all what a good job we were doing and to just keep it up. And that somehow set in my soul in a way that said, this is the right place. This is home for us. And so then you see, home starts changing you. You came with the intention of making things different, and yet what you find is that more and more what you want is the things to stay, in some regards, the way they've been. You can ask Johnny. When I got here, I was against quite a number of the things that we were doing. But in the course of the years that have passed, what you'll find is that you'll find no bigger advocate for things like the Fall Festival or even today's homecoming than myself. This is right and fitting. This coming home, this finding ourselves in a spot, in a place that is different and yet comforting, relaxing, soul-satisfying is what Cook's does for me, and I think I know does for a number of you. We come to this place, this is our spiritual home, and we're affected by it. We're changed by it. You see, we're in a great location today because we're at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, but we're also celebrating a World Communion Sunday. Now, World Communion Sunday, as we told the kids, is the day in which we remember that we are joined into a much larger body of believers than we can typically see at any given time. This small erstwhile band is but a fraction of the larger body of Christ that exists from here to the very ends of the earth, thanks to the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And because we're here today to celebrate the Lord's table, we know that this is an even more special place. We get to come and commune with the God who created us, the God who redeemed us, the God who sustains us in the power of the Holy Spirit. We get to come and be here and join together with Him. Jesus Christ makes no mistake about it, no matter what the breads, no matter what the juice or the fruit of the vine is, Jesus Christ sits at the head of the table. Why? Well, He's our Lord. He's our sovereign. There is no one in more control of our lives than that, and that control is a loving control. That control is, in fact, the loving hand of our Lord Jesus Christ on our lives. That Jesus Christ, we know from the Gospels, came to earth and took on life as a human And he didn't take on life as a human, as a king, or as an ambassador, or as a man of great power. He instead came, Ephesians or Philippians tells us, as a servant. And a servant that was to be crucified. You see, Jesus Christ recognized that we were a sinful humanity that was, in our sin, separated from God in a very real and sustainable way. And what Jesus Christ came to do was to heal that breach forever. But in order to heal that breach forever, Jesus Christ had to lay down his life, a human life laid down for the sins of all humanity. And in that space and in that place, Jesus Christ makes atonement for us, and he sets this table to celebrate. He sets this table so that we can be reminded that there is a place that we can come that feels like home, that smells like home, that tastes like home, that reminds us that we are, in a very limited way, in some very limited way, experiencing the fullness of home eternal on the other side of our deaths. Here at the table, we're joined together with Jesus Christ, the head of the table, but we're also joined with our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. We're joined with your friend, the neighbor that's the elder at the Belmont Church. We're joined with your friend that directs the orphanage in Africa. We're communing with everyone in the world who hails Jesus Christ and takes communion this day. We're joined to them in a way that gives us power and strength, enables us to see the fullness and the diversity of the God's kingdom in a way that is powerful and special and right and fitting and true. So we come to the table expecting to find our home. We're expecting to be changed. It was while I was doing some doctoral studies in Pittsburgh that I met a man named the Reverend Craig Barnes. Craig Barnes was the head of the national, was the head pastor of National Capital Presbyterian Church when on 9/11, when the planes went in. So he was right there at a form of ground zero, counseling people from the first day. And I was in one of his classes, and he told me a story about his brother. Now, it wasn't a biological brother, as this would turn out, as the story will go. But it was a man that had grown very dear, close enough that he called him brother. You see, in the 60s, in the late 60s, his dad had been a Baptist pastor on the kind of the hardscrabble side of Pittsburgh and had cobbled together a congregation of alcoholics and drug addicts and was really doing an amazing work there in Pittsburgh. It was at about this point that the family met a young man and woman who had a son named Robert. Robert was their child, clearly, and the two had problems with heroin but had gotten clean for a good period of time, and they were there every single Sunday sitting with Robert. And in fact, Robert had gotten to know the Barnes children because afterwards, when the pastor would be out to counsel this young couple with a myriad problems, the boys would all play together. Well, one Sunday, as Reverend Barnes points out, the couple wasn't there, neither was the child, Robert. Nobody thought too terribly much about it until that evening when the phone rang and the police had summoned the pastor to come to the family home. They didn't know at the time, but it was the only number that Robert had memorized in his mind. And so when he gave it to him, they called and the man came over. As it would turn out, it was an unfortunate circumstance. The parents had both perished and had passed away, and the boy was there by himself. Now, Reverend Barnes says he hopes his dad had the wherewithal to call his mother before he came and did what he was going to do. But what he did was bring the boy into the living room and announce everybody to come downstairs. And he said to them, "Meet your new brother." Now, Robert was having grown up in a less than advantageous circumstances. He was a little rough around the edges. But every night at the dinner table, he would come, and there would be some correction or some word of grace or love or some provision in the way of food and drink. And every day, Robert would come to that table, and he would learn. He learned how to be in a family. He learned how to be in a collection of people. He learned how to love. And he did it all right at that family dinner table. Friends, when we come to this, our family table, we come with the same rough edges. We came with the same broken sin that we had the last time we came. And yet when we come to this table, we're filled with a visible sign of an invisible grace. We're shared God's overwhelming and amazing grace here at the table, and we are changed. We find ourselves altered in the process. And so, friends, I invite you now to join me at the table. Let us pray. Dear God, in your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with you and your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you. We praise you with all of the saints in heaven. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to the needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer ourselves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, and that the bread we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, as united in ministry in every place. As this is Christ's body for us, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. In union with your church in heaven on earth, we pray, O God, that you would fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And we conclude this with a recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to the Father, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat of this loaf and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. As the bread baskets are passed, just remember that there's a variety of bread for you to sample if you would like to try one of the others. There's white bread at the bottom. There's gluten-free bread in the muffin cups. And as I mentioned with the kids, there are sealed communion wafers and cups there if you would prefer. Broken for you. It's the cup of salvation. the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've set us in this meal. And now as we prepare to depart, send us into the world to do your work and your will in this your world. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Okay. Having heard the word read and proclaimed and having had the word sealed for us in the sacrament of the Lord's table, we're blessed now to come bring to the Lord our prayers of intercession and supplication. I invite you to join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, thank you for your many blessings. Great is your faithfulness. New are your mercies every day. We feel the power of your love for us through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray today asking for you to look out after this world that's broken by sin, O Lord. We recognize that there are still folks that are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, and so we pray for them. We pray for Hazel Dunn. We pray for Elizabeth Bullock. We pray for Pat Hager. We pray for Mike Stanford. We pray for Jill Griffin and Jack McClure. We pray for Don Monteith. We pray for Sharon and Steve Gilmore. We pray for T.J. Thompson and family. We pray for former member Pete Mitchell. We pray for all of the men and women whose lives have been affected by the storms, be they near or far. We thank you, O Lord, for the faithfulness of first responders and rescuers. And gracious God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be there in the work of rebuilding. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. We now come into a time of giving in which we return to the Lord a portion of what he shared with us, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all. all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
I'm going to pray also for our meal this afternoon. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the many blessings that you share with us. Now, as we've returned a portion of those back to you, we pray that you would use this offering to bring about the work of your kingdom here in this, your world. Father God, we thank you also for this, the homecoming Sunday at Cook's. We thank you for all the men and women that have worked so hard to make this a success. Thank you for their efforts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that made it possible. We now, as we come into this meal, we just ask that you use this food to nourish us body, mind, and soul so that we might rise from our tables filled with the desire to share Jesus Christ and Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church with all we encounter. It's in His holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We go out into the world today, into the joy of our homecoming. I hope that as we do so, we'll all be filled with the knowledge that we're joined not only by the brothers and sisters in Christ who are here with us, but that we're joined with all of those around the globe today who celebrate World Communion Sunday. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.
We will sing our closing hymn twice and the last line twice.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.